Will you please be seated? And we come once more this evening to Paul's letter to his friends in Thessalonica. We're going to read 1 Thessalonians chapter, we're going to begin at chapter 2, verse 17, and read through to chapter 3, verse 5. Last Lord's Day evening, at the end of chapter 2, we saw how Paul missed his Thessalonian friends deeply. His separation from them was a painful one. He speaks of being torn away from them due to circumstances over which he had no control. And for Paul, it's a time of anxious separation as well as painful separation, because he knows that his friends are in a difficult situation, and he wonders, how are they doing? And this evening we discover, as we move into chapter 3, that Paul decides it's necessary to check in on them to see how they're doing. So we're going to begin reading at chapter 2, verse 17. Listen, here's God's word. But since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time in person, not in heart, we endeavored the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face, because we wanted to come to you. I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. Therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind in Athens alone. We sent Timothy, our brother, and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and exhort you in your faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are destined for this. For when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction, just as it has come to pass, and just as you know. For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you, and our labor would be in vain. The word of God. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, as we hear the Apostle write, we have a strong sense of the reality of the trials and afflictions, the turbulence that your people encounter and experience. And with that, we have a strong sense of the heart of the Apostle, his earnest and deep desire for the well-being of his brothers and sisters. And we recognize in that a reflection of the heart of the Savior. We ask that you would instruct us from your word this evening, not simply that our minds might be informed. We pray that our hearts, our affections might be shaped and trained in order better to reflect the heart of the Savior who is at work in us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this Paul is in a situation of great anxiety. Maybe you've had the experience of being in one of those waiting rooms in a hospital, in an emergency room perhaps, and you know that beyond the door, your loved one, someone who is dear to you, is experiencing some kind of crisis, and you are absolutely on eggshells, wondering what's going on in there. And if you've been in that situation, you'll know how the atmosphere is just tense with anxiety, with anticipation. Paul senses some of that anxiety and anticipation, because he knows that back in Thessalonica, his friends are experiencing difficulties. They are undergoing trials, and Paul is concerned to know how are they doing. And that is part and parcel of Paul's experience as an apostle of the Lord Jesus, writing to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 28. Paul speaks about all the trials that he's undergone, and then he says, and apart from all these things, there is the daily pressure on me of anxiety for all the churches. Paul was someone who had a broad vision. He had a global vision, and he knew that the people of God, the various congregations of Jesus' church, were by no means having an easy time of it, and he was concerned for them. And you might think of others who find themselves in a similar situation. You might think of our own regional home missionary and the concerns and the sense of burden that he must feel for the mission works and the core groups and the congregations in our presbytery. And then perhaps learn from that it's good for us to have a broader vision and to recognize that our brothers and sisters, even within the Mid-Atlantic region, experience difficulties and trials that may go beyond the kinds of things that we are now experiencing. Paul was someone who recognized that part and parcel of being a part of the body of Christ was to have a concern for brothers and sisters, Christians who are going through trials, who are experiencing difficulties, need support, they need to be cared for, they need to be helped. And Paul was aware of that, not as a hypothetical, but as a living reality. And in the situation that we had before us as we move from 1 Thessalonians 2 into 1 Thessalonians 3, Paul's sense of anxiety and apprehension causes him to send Timothy to check in on the Thessalonians, to see how they are doing. And as Paul takes that practical step to check in on the Thessalonians, and as he makes that practical gesture to demonstrate care and show support, Paul instructs us in the kind of concern that we should have for our brothers and sisters and for one another. And looking at our verses this evening, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, I want you to see some of the facets of Paul's care for the Thessalonians. It was a sacrificial care, which we'll see in verses 1 and 2. It was a consistent care. We'll see that in verses 3 and 4. And also, it was a sincere, heartfelt care, a concern that flowed from his heart. And that's evident throughout the passage, but it pops to the fore in verse 5. So we can look at these aspects, these facets of Paul's practical concern for his Thessalonian brothers and sisters. And the first thing is that the care that Paul demonstrated that he exercised for the Thessalonians was a sacrificial care. Providing the care, providing the support that the Thessalonians needed was a costly business, and Paul was ready to make that sacrifice. Listen to verses 1 and 2. Paul says, "Therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind in Athens alone, and we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith." Paul found himself, and you remember, having left Thessalonica, having gone to Berea, Paul next found himself in Athens. And Paul tells the Thessalonians that he was willing to be left behind in Athens alone in order to send Timothy to check in on the Thessalonians. Now, Paul was someone who was used to working as part of a team. And isn't that a pattern that we see throughout the scriptures? God's people, God's servants, don't work in isolation. They work as part of a network. They are yoke fellows. They are partners in the cause of the gospel. And for Paul on the mission field in Athens, Timothy was a valuable asset. He was a dear friend. He was Paul's true son in the faith. And you remember the way in which that special relationship is so evident in Paul's letters to Timothy. But in Athens, because of his concern for the Thessalonians, Paul was ready to stay there by himself in order to deploy Timothy to go back to Thessalonica to check in on the Thessalonians. And that was a sacrificial gesture on Paul's part, because Athens was a difficult environment. In our adult Sunday school class this morning, we reflected briefly on Acts chapter 17, where Paul, finding himself in Athens, surrounded by all the paraphernalia of idolatry, was provoked in his spirit. You'll remember how Dr. Fleurer said that Paul's spirit was agitated. He was in distress as he saw the depth of the paganism that was prevalent there in in Athens, in that city that was filled not just with idols, but all of the false and benighted thinking that pervaded that environment. One commentator says that never had Paul been left alone in a place so unsympathetic. Never had he felt such a gulf fixed between his mind and the minds of those around him. Paul was in a hostile environment, and how precious Timothy must have been to him in that environment. Paul says, we were ready, speaking of himself in the kind of apostolic plural, we were ready to be left alone in Athens in order to send Timothy. Paul delegated, Paul assigned Timothy to the task. That was a costly gesture. And you'll notice how Paul underscores the value of Timothy. He is our brother. He is God's co-worker. Timothy's not some kind of underling. He's not some minion. Timothy is Paul's right hand. And Paul says, we were ready to be left alone, to send Timothy in order to give you care, to give you support, to check in on you. The lesson is that in order to encourage your brothers and sisters, we need to make sacrificial gestures. We need to be ready to put ourselves out for our brothers and sisters. Their needs sometimes cause our plans to have to be changed. Their needs often occur at inconvenient times. Their needs often involve sacrifice. And yes, the ministry of caring for those in need and in crisis is costly, and in human terms, it's inefficient. But it's what the Lord Jesus calls us to, because it's what Jesus himself did. Jesus was ready to put himself out for the sake of others. We got a little glimpse of that this morning from Mark chapter 1, where Jesus, at the end of a busy day, is besieged by all the townspeople of Capernaum coming flocking to the door with all their sick and maimed and ill and injured and demon-possessed in order for Jesus to minister to them. And at a time when Jesus could well have been taking his rest, and at a time when Jesus could well have said, that's enough, we're done, we're shut up for this evening, he kept on serving those who came to him with their needs. And at that point, the Lord Jesus sets for us an example of what it is to care sacrificially to our own cost for others. We had another example of that again this morning when the disciples, you remember, turned away those parents with their with all of those children and said, no, Jesus, too busy, too tired, take them away. And Jesus was indignant that barrier, that obstacle, should have been thrown up in the face of these ones who were coming to him seeking his help or seeking his blessing. And so the pattern of the Lord Jesus' ministry, one where he found himself time after time being imposed upon by others and time after time putting himself out for the sake of others, ultimately, of course, laying down his life for the sake of his beloved bride, demonstrating what it is to sacrifice out of love in order to care for the needs of others. So to care for our brothers and sisters, Paul, the Lord Jesus, reminds us that, yes, that's going to be inconvenient at times. It's going to involve sacrifice. It means sometimes changes of plans. It means sometimes stepping in when someone else is unavailable. It means being ready to flex and adjust in order to serve others. Paul's care was also a consistent care. Not only was it sacrificial to his own cost, but it was consistent. He had a consistent care, concern for the Thessalonians. And Paul's sending of Timothy was a part of a pattern of his care for his Thessalonian friends. A pattern of consistent care was because the Thessalonians were constantly in a situation where there was need. Paul, and listen to verses 3 and 4. Paul says, You yourselves know that we were destined for this, for these afflictions. For when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction, just as it has come to pass and just as you know. Paul had warned them that as Christians, they were going to experience difficulties. That was part of his instruction for new Christians. It's going to be hard being a Christian. There are going to be difficulties. You're going to experience affliction. There are going to be trials. Paul, it wasn't just a kind of footnote, an asterisk in Paul's membership instruction class. No, it was front and center. Paul said, if you're going to be a follower of the Lord Jesus, you're going to experience discomfort living in this world. And so indeed it has panned out. And Paul speaks of how his concern that they be shaken, that they be moved by these afflictions. He doesn't want them to be the word shaken, the word moved is it's the word used to describe the wagging of a dog's tail. You think of that tail wagging, and Paul says we don't want you to be like wagging around like that the tail of the dog just kind of constantly being agitated. No, Paul says, we don't want you to be shaken. And of course, the shaking of our faith can take all kinds of forms. Yes, it can take the form of opposition and persecution, but our faith can be shaken, moved as we experience other trials, as we experience discouragements, as we experience illness, as we experience sadness, as we experience loneliness, as we encounter disappointment. All of those things can have the effect of moving us, of shaking us in our faith. And Paul says, I warned you up front that these were the kinds of things that you would encounter. John Calvin says that it's almost as if Paul said that you're going to be Christians on this condition. Here's the condition of being a Christian. You're going to find yourself encountering affliction. You're going to find your faith exposed to pressures that are going to tend to shake it. And Paul, however, says, I'm going to... Timothy is going to come in order to give you encouragement. Verse 2, he talks about how Timothy is going to establish and exhort you, establish and encourage you. The establish, that's an architectural term. It's the buttress. It's the reinforcing structure that supports something that otherwise might perhaps be unsteady or wobbly or apt to fall down. So Timothy is going to establish, he's going to supply that support, he's going to exhort or encourage. The word is, as we've said before, it's a little bit of an elastic word. Support, encourage, comfort, exhort. But it has the idea of coming alongside someone to do that. Now, step back and look at the picture that Paul's developing for us here. Paul is telling us that Christians can expect difficulties, that Christians are liable to have their faith shaken, that they're liable to be moved. But Paul says, I'm sending Timothy as someone who's going to be alongside you. You see, Paul recognized that what was needed was for someone to draw alongside the Thessalonians in order to be a support to them. And there you see is a pattern. Paul recognizes that that kind of thing is not just something that's an occasional requirement in the life of Jesus' church. No, in the life of Jesus' church, there is a necessity for brothers and sisters to be drawing alongside one another so that they will not be shaken and moved in faith, so that they can be supportive of one another. And you can see the challenge that the Holy Spirit gives to us at this point, because the Holy Spirit is calling on us to recognize that our brothers and sisters encounter those things that move their, that shake their faith, but our brothers and sisters need people who will draw alongside them to be their support. Perhaps pray for them. Perhaps speak the word of encouragement. Perhaps, and sometimes it just takes the hug or the gesture of support or love. That kind of thing is not just an occasional
an occasional thing in the life of the church. That should be a consistent part of the church's mutual ministry as Christians care for one another. In other words, Christians are people who care. And that care should be constantly finding ways to express itself in support of our brothers and sisters. And of course, as we care for one another, we're simply doing what God does for us. At the end of our service this evening, we'll have as our benediction Paul's words from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, may he comfort, there's a strengthening word, may he comfort your hearts, may he establish them in every good work and word. You see, there's the same kind of language. What Timothy is doing is a reflection of what God does. God strengthens us. God fortifies us. And the Jesus Church is to be a culture of caring, where we are constantly caring for one another. Paul was consistently caring for the Thessalonians, and even when he was absent from them, he was sending Timothy so that his care could be demonstrated. And that care was a heartfelt care, and that's evident right through our passage. But look at verse 5. Paul says, "For this reason, I could bear it no longer. I sent to learn about your faith for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be in vain." And Paul, He said, I couldn't stand it any longer. I had to send Timothy to check in on you. I couldn't bear the sense of anxiety and concern that I had for you. And Paul is showing us his heart here. This is not Paul checking off something from his church planter checklist. Train leaders, set up a Sunday school program, arrange for Bible studies, organize follow-up, check. No, Paul genuinely cares for the Thessalonians. We've seen it already back in at the end of chapter 2. Paul says, what is our hope, our joy, our crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? You are our glory and joy. Paul had a heartfelt love and concern for them, so that he's not in any way dispassionate. And he's not in any way thinking, oh, those Thessalonians, they're just such a needy bunch, and oh dear, I'm going to have to send Timothy, and what an inconvenience. No, Paul desperately wants to minister to them because he loves them. He's concerned about them, and he's repeating in verse 5 the concern that he expressed in verse 1. We could bear it no longer. The language, the Greek, is the language of a pent-up pressure that just can no longer be contained. You think of the bottle of soda, and you shake it up, and then the lid kind of comes off, and there's that's Paul's the emotion, the concern for you was building and building to the point where we could bear it no longer, and that concern overflows in the practical measure of sending Timothy. Paul felt himself compelled to act. And of course, again, Paul, in doing that, he shows us what should be our concern for our brothers. We don't love, remember John's words, we don't love in word and speech, but in deed and in truth. God's people have hearts of love for one another. Paul says in Ephesians 5, verse 2, that we are to walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. The Lord Jesus lovingly laid down his life for us in our neediness. The Lord Jesus did that out of a heart of love. And we are profoundly moved by that as we recognize the Savior's, the debt that the Savior paid on our behalf is a debt that he paid out of love for us. When we were sinners, God loved, demonstrated his love for us in sending the Lord Jesus to die for us. Jesus cares for his people. Jesus was, out of love, compelled to act when he laid down his life on Calvary's cross. And of course, because Jesus did that, we can be assured that the Savior, out of that same sense of love, is going to be our provider and our protector as we experience trial. Jesus says, in this world, you will have trial. Jesus warns us, but he says, don't be afraid, for I have overcome the world. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that though we might face affliction, though we might experience challenging and discouraging circumstances, we can be assured of your love for us, and we can be guaranteed that nothing will separate us from your love for us in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And we ask that that might gladden our hearts. We ask that that might translate into a sense of Christ-like concern for our brothers and sisters. And we pray this in our Savior's name. Amen.